Space within thought. I had the experience early on, but that was not born of a free mind. That's why later on when I graduated, when I started to come out and live my life as a civil engineer, I started to interact with the world society and started to look forward to the first salary, the first month payback here. Then because of this worldly activity, I realized inside it starts to move again. Because during that time I also meditate less when I graduated from the university, because work was priority. Then I realized this nature got ambition, want to do master program, want to become a lawyer, want to study law too, want to enhance the civil engineering basic degree and a lot of other things. Then I realized when it comes into contact with many society, inside starts to move and there is this craving inside it. Then I realized something is not right. How come? In the past, it's already so still, cannot move. That time, you really like enlightened. But the wisdom not there. It's the conditioned state that prevent the mental hindrance from arising. Because of that, my spiritual faculties were there. But that wisdom factor was not developed because I haven't had the condition to inherit it. Until I met up with my teacher. Master Shen Hua was the first one, 1986. Before that, I already met him. Then later on, Jayatra, the main one. Then I start to understand the highest meditation. He just mentioned this. We choose aware every moment, every instant, in the present moment. And that was the highest meditation. So when I reflected, I realized I haven't done that. So that's why I reversed my whole training and I went into daily mindfulness. The reason for me to do that is because I realized when I came out to work, my mind still moved. Then I recollected the Buddha's analogy about the glass of water. When you have this sediment still inside there, if you don't stir it, the water is clear. But the moment you stir it, the sediment float. Then I straight away knew the sediment is like the five mental hindrance. Because when there is nothing to disturb you to stir your mind, your sense experience is like in control, no problem at all. That clarity allows you to see. But the moment you have a situation that things stir, then all this sediment which are still not rooted out, the mental hindrance, they arise. When they arise, if you fail, then it will cause you to develop heedlessness. So this mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why after that, I decided to shift the cultivation and went into daily mindfulness. Then I connected it with the four foundations of mindfulness. Then I start to understand, no wonder the Buddha said, from first foundation, kaya nupassana, you just develop sati to anapana sati. Then you move into the four posture, awareness, mindfulness of four. Then sati sampajaya. Then I realized this is all daily mindfulness. From there only, you can understand and contemplate the four elements, the 32 part, the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. Then the whole teaching becomes clear. Then after that only you can go into the second foundation of mindfulness, Vedana, feeling. Mindfulness of Vedana, feeling. Mindfulness of feeling. Then after that, Citta Nupassana, then Dhamma Nupassana. Then from there, I start to understand more and more, more and more. Then initially, The Satipatthana Sutta, the opening statement, I already knew. After overcoming covetousness and grief, that's why I knew without the daily mindfulness to move through the Avijja Sutta, step 4 and 5, which is step 4 is Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom. Without the Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, you cannot do Sati Sampajana. That's why they are related. That's why this code is related. So now I can go in to share with you why I say space within thought is wisdom energy. Because for this space to arise from a free mind, remember, not a conditioned state of mind that is in samatha, concentration or absorption. When you are able to have space, means there is no thought, then that is your true mind, pure energy. That one is without delusion, without avijja, without the evil roots. That one is wisdom energy. That's why to develop that, you need wisdom. So step one of Avijja Sutta is you must have Dhamma friends, Kayamita. Then only step two can come about. Opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Of course, that one also need condition and your karmic paths. Then number three, when you constantly listen to the true Dhamma, you will develop the first and second turning wisdom, and you will be able to investigate into the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. Then when they stand up to investigation, step three arise. Confidence in the Buddha and his teaching means you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. You have faith in the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Then after that, step four will also come about, because when you start to listen, you also reflect, contemplate, and develop the first, second turning wisdom, which is the initial wisdom the Buddha called Yoniso Manasikara. Yoniso means wisdom. Manasikara means attention. Means wisdom at the moment of attention. Means when you pay attention, when you see something, you can pay attention there. When you hear something, you can pay attention to your hearing consciousness. When you smell, taste, touch, feel, or think, you can pay attention there. So attention is manasikara. Yeah? So manasikara is very important. When there is wisdom at the moment of sense experience or hearing, means there is yoniso. So wisdom at the moment of hearing come from your nature, not from your memory. Memory is knowledge. Nature means when you cultivate the first, second, and third turning wisdom, it brings forth the three types of spiritual wisdom, respectively, Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, followed by Bhavanamaya Panya. So these three types of wisdom were surfaced. Yeah. And the first two actually give rise to the initial wisdom, which is mainly step four, Yoniso Manasikara. So when you have this, this wisdom will prompt you at the moment of sense experience, like when you see something. Normally without this, you will straight away stir your mind and react your mind. You react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Why? Because you act from memory. Memory is your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. And all of your fear, phobia, insecurity, your unhappy state of mind. Whatever that you hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, including the evil roots of greed, selfishness, envy, jealousy, hatred, emotional negativity, and all of your phobia, your fear, your negative mind state, born of self-delusion, sakkha-ditti, So all this, they will come and stir your mind and cause you to react. That's why there is no space at all. You will continuously develop the habit to react and think like that. And the Buddha call it heedless thinking. Because without heedfulness, you will think a lot. That's why my Thai teacher Achayanra said the same. Human being very funny. You think a lot, like non-stop thinking. Sometimes you think until you cannot sleep, insomnia. The thought is so active, restless inside there. Because you cling on to your problem, you hold on to your problem. So there is hardly any wisdom energy to allow you to have the clarity to be silent, to be still. When you are silent, you conserve your life force. You conserve your physical energy. You don't use so much energy. But when you think a lot, especially when you study, you think a lot, or when you go through fear, worry, and like, it consumes a lot of mental and physical energy. It drains you. That's why it causes you stress. It causes you fear, worry, anxiety. And these are negative energy field and make you like miserable. That's why people fall into depression. They develop mental problems. And they develop a lot of mental sicknesses. Yeah. And all this mental negativity, including the negative energy, they will cause your cell to mutate and it will cause cancer and all those traumatic disease. That's why the scientists also knew you subject the water sample to beautiful music or good vibration, the crystal come out very beautiful. But you subject them to all the polluted vibration and curse them, scold them, negative thought, keep on abusing or speak abusive language to that thing, that crystal become very, very deformed. That crystal that they observe under the microscope or that sample is like mutated, distorted. That's how the cell get mutated, distorted, because no more good vibration. So what happened is our physical body as a human being, almost 80% of it is liquid, or we call water and blood and mucus or whatever liquid. And just imagine you keep on arising the wrong thought, the negative thought, the anger, the hatred, the delusion, the fear, the phobia. What will happen to you? Your crystal, they will mutate, and your health will deteriorate. Your immune system will be gone. And this is very easy to understand, very straightforward. That's why without space within thought, you don't have energy. You don't have wisdom energy. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot awaken. You cannot be with your true mind. You are always lost in thought, heedlessly thinking, lost in thought, reacting, stirring your mind, developing all the wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and make you miserable, sick, and afflict you, suffering. So this is what Dhamma is. When you understand, then you must develop the step 4 leading to step 5 of the Avijja Sutta. Step 1, 2, and 3, almost most Kayamita or all Kayamita will have them. But step 4 and 5, you have to work on it if you are still keen to progress. So a lot of our Kayamita has developed step 4. But 5, not that many, not that many. Step 5, Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension, means able to have the stability of daily mindfulness and the stability of the inner awareness in a form of meditation. That one, not many yet. But quite a handful has developed it, which is a good sign. That's why our kayamitas are different, the kayamita forces are different. So if you are serious, more and more will be able to reach step 4 and step 5. And when you have step 4 and step 5, you are destined for enlightenment. Because after that, step 6 and 7 is a natural consequence. Once you reach step 6 and 7, you are at least a sotapanna or a sakadagami, second stage of sainthood or first stage of sainthood. Now then you move into the fourth foundation of mindfulness, step 8, very easy. And you will progress very fast and you will break free from the 10 fetters and realize anagamiship or arahantship. Then if you have the condition you want to take the bodhisattva, you can continue. So this is the clarity of the process that you're supposed to go through. I hope it is clear to you now.